How's the time change working for you, everybody? You good? I know some people woke up and they're like, not today, not the early service, but a lot of people were up for the early service, so I expect the last service will be busy. I'm Pastor Corey. If we haven't met, this is Pastor Aaron. We'd love to meet you out in the lobby. We have a 7-minute party after service. We'd love to connect with you. I thought this, I got this sweater. This is what I thought that it said until I looked at it really. I thought it said, repent until you reach perfection. And I'm like, Zara, you're making clothes that, you're making Jesus clothes now. But that's not an N at all. Repeat. Oh, well. Neil in the first service thought it said, repeat until you preach for perfection. So, well, that kind of makes sense. So, we are so glad you're here. We had a bunch of people go to El Salvador from the church, and so they're back. My oldest kids went. We realized they'd never been on a mission trip, because when we came here 7 years ago, that was kind of our mission, you know. And so so my oldest girl's got to go, and I don't know, is Buchholz in here somewhere? Oh, yeah, did he teach my kids how to use a drill? Were you disappointed that I didn't teach them how to? Well, why don't I teach them? Where are they going to use a drill in my house? I don't know. Parenting fails. Easter is coming. Easter is coming. Easter is coming. I want to preach just a 2-part series called Man of Sorrows. Before we come up, we got to go down a little bit. And I want to preach to you about Jesus before the resurrection, Jesus on his way to the cross. Today I'm going to go back into Isaiah and talk about prophesied Jesus. Like, God's like, the Jesus that you want isn't the Jesus you need. And so 700 years before Christ, he's like, I need to tell you what's really coming in Jesus, because it's not going to make any sense to what you want, Canada, but it's who you need. So it's going to be good. And then we have a baptism coming up, and we have like 40 people getting baptized. Y'all, I'm so proud of you. It's going to be awesome. Bring all your friends out. Bring all your friends out, all your neighbors out. That's in 2 weeks, right? 2 weeks. And so, also, if you know somebody getting baptized, you remember when you got baptized, there was a huge spiritual fight before you got baptized, and then there's one after. So it's always like the before and after pictures of baptism. And so you got to help somebody through that. You have a great church family. This is a war that we're in. We want to help you, and we want to bless you. And so lean into that. Lean in. Don't lean out. It's going to be a great time. So, okay. Today's sermon is called Jesus Stratified. Thanks, Sean. Jesus Stratified. You know, like when rocks are stratified, there's different layers of them. And today I'm going to be talking about the different layers of Christ, that the deeper you go, the more is revealed to you, but also the more alarming the journey gets for you. So you might know some layers of Jesus. You might know Jesus as a friend. Jesus is the friend of sinners. But he loves you so much that way, but he doesn't want to leave you there. So the friend of sinners, the friends of those who are separated from a holy father because the sin you were born into and then the sin you partook of, like that is darkness. What accord does darkness, the Bible says, have with light? So Jesus comes to bridge the gap. So you might know Jesus as a friend of sinners, but that doesn't mean that you know Jesus as Savior yet. And if you're exploring faith, we just go to the prayer team after. We'll tell you what it's like to meet Jesus and show you how to do that. But then you know Jesus as Savior. Now, Savior Jesus is deeper than friend Jesus. It's the same Jesus, but you just don't know the next layer. Then it's like, then Jesus does this thing where he's like, how about Lord Jesus? I'm like, oh, easy now. Friend Jesus, I can kind of do what I want. Christmas baby Jesus. But as you get into the different layers of Christ, today in this series called Man of Sorrows, I'm going to be talking about the Son of Suffering that we sing about. Man of Sorrows, acquainted with our grief. A more precious Jesus emerges the deeper you go. Now, it's not like Jesus wasn't precious before. It's that He wasn't precious to you. He hasn't been revealed in your life yet as the man of sorrows, as the son of suffering. So have you ever been in situations where you found another layer of a person? You know what I'm saying? Like you hung out and you're like, oh, I thought that they were like this, but they're like this. You know, if you go on a mission trip, like you can come out of mission trips and be best friends with people, or you can come out of mission trips with people that used to be your best friends. Because you see them when they're tired and when they're disappointed, when they got too much sun. You ever been on a mission trip? You should go on a mission trip. They're awesome. I was on a mission trip, went to Mexico one time when I was in high school. Now, I went to a Christian high school, and there were some other Christian high schools of the same same school, but in a different place. Ooh, it was going to be a good sermon. Okay. You know what I'm talking about. Whatever. So anyway, so we're like on a bus to Mexico, and you know, I'm a high school boy, and I meet this high school girl that's not in my high school, right? And so at first when you see somebody, you're like, oh, they're not hard to look at, you know, like they're okay, and it's not Pastor Aaron, so like don't get all hurt, and I talked to her about this. It was Pastor Aaron's, we found out later, second cousin. So that's... it's not weird for me at all, but, and her name was Allison and her last name was Babe. And I'm like, okay. Now, and again, you know, she wasn't like difficult to look at. Sometimes Pastor Anna's like, your face is beautiful. It's a really a radio face is what she tells me. It's a face for radio. So Allison had a face that wasn't a face for radio, I guess, is just hang on. Now, so we started hanging out, and at first, I'm like, okay, this girl's okay, you know. Some of you are like, what was high school Corey like? High school Corey would be difficult to understand. Like, high school Corey is like this Corey, only more so. Like a lot more so. This is the politically correct version of that version. And so for me and my personality, particularly back then, so here's the trouble. As we were hanging out, I started getting annoyed by Allison a little bit. Now, when I start getting annoyed by something or someone, if I decide that I'm annoyed, that's a problem. Because then everything, we got any people like that out there? Like, then everything is like, really. So now I've learned, as a responsible adult, I've learned to say, they're great, to myself. Like, when I think about some of you. Look, everybody's got something. And I'm like, they're great. Scott's great. Layden's great. Layden's really great. What was high school Corey like? He was great. But back then I started getting annoyed, and the more time I was spending, the less time I wanted to spend. Now, listen, I think she's like married and has a family. She's like a city councilor in Medicine Hat now. So like somehow her life was okay without me. Maybe a lot better. But the reality is the more I spent time with her, the less the more I was getting annoyed by just something in the personality or something like that. And I cut myself shaving one morning, you know, and I was like high school, so I probably had like a full beard or whatever, but I cut myself shaving one morning. That's why I never shave on Sunday mornings. I don't know if you know this about me. I always shave Saturdays because every time on a Sunday morning I shave, I cut myself. And if you've ever cut yourself shaving here, it bleeds all day and you walk around with toilet paper on your face or on your neck. And so I don't want to be at church preaching because I will leave the toilet paper on there. And so it was one of those moments as a teenager that's awkward. And so I'm getting on the bus. Now I'm late to get on the bus. I'm the last one on the bus. I'm getting on the bus, and as I'm getting on the bus, in the back of my mind, because I'm prophetic, I'm like, dear Lord, this is what I'm praying. Please don't make me sit beside Allison, Babe. I will sit beside anybody else on this bus. I don't want to sit beside Allison, babe. And I get on the bus and I look, and a hand goes up and points at the seat. I saved it for you. You think God doesn't have a sense of humor? Don't you ever pray for something like that? That's a stupid prayer. Just be like, God, I want to sit beside it. I want to get over this irritation. That's not what I said. You don't know me until I start getting irritated with something. Pastor Aaron didn't know me until we went to Ireland. We'd been married for a couple of years, I think. And we went to Ireland with my parents. And I was in a rotten mood the whole trip in Ireland. And the reason that we discovered this kind of during that trip, the reason I was in a bad mood was because I was always worried about where we were going to eat next. I was worried, not that I was hungry, I was worried that I might, come on, we got any men in the room? I was worried that I might be hungry because I didn't know where we were going to eat. And so Pastor Aaron learned, this version of Corey, we have to pack snacks for. Now, snacks don't sound spiritual, but they're spiritual, y'all. And I got snacks in my backpack that have been in my backpack for 2 years. I haven't eaten them. I don't need to eat them. It's not that I'm hungry. I just might be. And so if I ever have to get those power bars out of there or whatever, they're going to be made up. They're going to be disgusting. And I don't have to because now you see Pastor Aaron, she got all put together. You don't know Pastor Aaron until a library book is late. It's called Library Anxiety. I looked it up. I read things like, I would rather die than library anxiety. Now, I think what happened, she hasn't opened up to me in Freedom Group yet, but I think what happened is that as a child, she saw somebody return a library book late. And in Medicine Hat, they probably just dragged them off in the trees behind and beat them to death. And ever since then, it's just been this, like, it's not late, it's not late. And she'd be like, I mean, our entire world stops, the entire city stops when we have a library book that might be late. Like, Harwin! Like, full stop. Is it late? And I don't have an issue with librarians. I've wrestled through the fears. I'm like, I've never seen a librarian that's like, I'm like, they could have gone into the MMA or done this, and they chose this. I've never seen somebody who is like, I was in special forces, and you know what? I needed to make a career move, and that's where they ended up. I'm like, the people that work at the library cannot physically harm you. All they can do is like disapprove, and then you pay your 25 cents and get on with your life. Right? You don't know somebody till you dig a few layers down and find them under stress. You don't know the brilliance of somebody either. You got what you can see from the surface, but I got a text last night from Jesse Fair. And this is what the text said. How are babies made? And then I realized his wife Tia is up to her old tricks again. She unlocks his phone and sends texts to his friends. That's why Tia and I are best friends. I'm like, you know how many years of regrets I have? Because I'm like, Pastor Aaron, can I see your phone for a sec? And that's like not even alarming compared to what she sent to other. I'm like, who would think of that? You get a text from Jesse Fair and you're like, oh, he hasn't figured this out. His wife's pregnant, y'all. It's immaculate conception. It might be the Holy Spirit, because Jesse doesn't know. Lincoln Hoffer is 8. And Ryan and Kendra Lee, his parents were telling me that he went to the garden one day and got a bunch of fresh garlic and chopped it up and put it in everybody's salad except his own. And every grandpa's eating the salad, like, oh, this doesn't taste. Everybody's like, oh, this salad doesn't. He's just like, mine's good. Not on my best day would I have thought that up. What did I do as a kid? I did some crazy stuff, but I never thought of anything like that. I mean, you need to be worried about that kid. He's got a good dad. His dad, they were eating avocado toast, and his dad scraped some of the avocado off and put wasabi in there. And Lincoln learned a big boy lesson that day. He's like, oh, I waited for a bit. And he got it. He got it. There's layers of crazy. I remember in my dad's church, one of the Sunday school teachers was teaching all the kids about the dangers of anger. And then Pastor Erin said she left the room and she heard a kerfuffle. And she went back in there and the kids were like, Mrs. So-and-so just lost it on Joseph. That was one way to teach kids about anger. One time in a Bible study, the same person said, well, God says, it says in the Bible, that when God closes a door, he opens a window. And Erin says, no, it doesn't. And she goes, well, it says it somewhere, and keeps moving. There's also, when you dig down, layers of incredible sacrifice that you never thought a person was capable of. I had a boss one time I worked for. His wife had MS. Now, when you say I do, you're not thinking MS. And she got MS, and so we all the trades guys would watch him go to the truck and pick her up and, like, carry her to the washroom. And you don't know what a person is like until something tragic happens, and you find out there's some stuff in there that you didn't even know the depths of character. And then when they said, I do, they meant. And they did. I was thinking about, some of you have sacrificed and you think that God doesn't see. Maybe the Jesus you've experienced so far doesn't, but the man of sorrows does. The man of sorrows who is acquainted with our deepest grief. I think the great, I was thinking about this, one of the great lies in our nation today is that joy, it was the same in Israel, that joy is freedom from pain. I think some of us come to Jesus for pain relief. We come and meet Jesus and we're like, take the pain away. But then we dig a little bit deeper and we're like, boy, this gets painful as we get into it. And then Jesus hands you a cross and says, hey, can you pick this up every day, it says, and follow me? I'm like, whoa, no, I came because of the cross I was carrying. And Jesus is like, no. The man of sorrows. If happiness is freedom from pain, Jesus is the most unhappy person there is. If happiness is freedom from pain, Jesus is the most unhappy person that there is and ever could be, because he's experienced the most pain that any person could. We think that if Jesus takes away our pain, then we could be happy. The Jesus we're talking about today, the precious one, is the one that in the midst of great pain reveals himself differently than you've ever seen him before, differently you've ever heard him, differently than you've ever felt him. Because more pain doesn't mean you'll be less happy. You know somebody who's experienced childhood trauma that you've never experienced. And they're happier than you. But they know Jesus in a way that you don't yet. They know, they've invited Jesus into a place you haven't yet. They are, as deep as the sorrow, is as happy as they are. Don't think that happiness doesn't have to do with sorrow. The further down you go, the higher up you go. What we do when we come to Jesus is we come as like 7-year-old kids who are like, we get what we want. Like, Jesus, save me. What we really mean is save me from pain. Save me. Then we get what we want, and then we just keep the relationship there. We just like, yeah, we don't want to go deeper than that, though. That's far enough. I got all the stuff I wanted. And then we just try to keep it there. Pastor Ben, who was here with us a couple weeks ago, just midweek, he was just checking out what we do here. He's from Brandon, Manitoba, but he came originally from Rwanda. His father was one of the main religious leaders in the area. And right after Easter, when the genocide happened, the father had a sense to get his family out. So he got his family out, but then he went back to save as many people as he could. So Pastor Ben's doing a documentary about it right now. And he goes back and he saves as many people as he can, but he's high on the hit list and they find him and kill him, but the family doesn't find out for a long time. So Pastor Ben is at the gym working out and somebody says to him in Brandon, Manitoba, when are you going to leave? And he goes, leave? He goes, when are you going to leave the country? Because Trudeau's killing it. I'm like, okay, fair enough. So, when are you going to leave the country? And he goes, it's a lot better than the place I came from. Oh, there's pain here, but it's nothing like perspective. Perspective. The pain might remind him of greater pain. Imagine yourself. This is what we do, though. This is what we do. We spend all our time, this is a Canadian thing, we spend all our time walking around thinking if we're happy or not. Wondering if we're happy. I mean, if there's a guarantee not to be happy, walk around and ask yourself if you're happy. Am I a happy person? Am I happy? Is my life amazing? Is it? And we're crossing the street preoccupied with whether or not we're happy. And a bus just about hits us. And somebody pushes us out of the way of the bus and gets caught by the bus. And the bus is driving down the street with Jesus in the grill. But when we fell, we hurt our hand a little. Now, most of us, we get up and we're like, this pain in my hand. I'm not happy. But some of us turn and watch Jesus. And this pain reminds us of that pain. This pain in our hand reminds us of. Now, isn't your sorrow part of the package of greater joy? This then reminds you of that. The pain of your past reminds you of who couldn't be happy. Not the absence of pain. When you drill down, not the absence of pain. The man of sorrows. In fact, the more pain I have, the more happy I can be. Jesus is. 700 years before Christ, God is preparing the human race for what is to come. It's not what you expect. It's not what we think. Now, the real problem is that we had no connection with God. Jesus could have come in strength. It wouldn't have connected us. Pastor Craig Rochelle said this. It's absolutely true. You might impress somebody with your strength, but you connect in weakness. Why did Jesus have to come down and hang on a cross and die? Because you were weak, and that's where you were. And he had to come down to you. Who in your life this Easter won't be reached with the love of Jesus because you won't go down? Because you're too busy wondering if you're happy or not. Isaiah 53, he was despised and rejected. It's speaking of the Christ to come. Despised and rejected, a man of sorrows, acquainted with deepest grief. We turned our backs on him and looked the other way. I wouldn't. Yeah, you have. He was despised and we did not care. We're too preoccupied with happiness to look at the unhappiness of Christ, to look at the sorrow, to look at the grief. Yet it was our weakness he carried. What? It was our sorrows that weighed him down, and we thought his troubles were a punishment from God. A punishment for his own sins. It says, the only way for us to be adopted into God's family is for the price of sin to be paid. And it says in the scriptures, for sin, it costs a life. Jesus hangs on your cross, and God pours out the wrath of sin so that he can treat you like he treats Jesus. Now, to adopt you, to bring you back. Yeah, we thought it was his own sins, his own weaknesses. It was mine. But he was pierced for our rebellion, crushed for our sins. He was beaten so we could be whole. He was whipped so we could be healed. All of us, like sheep, have strayed away. We have left God's plans, God's paths to follow our own. Yet the Lord laid on him the sins of us all. He was oppressed and treated harshly. He never said a word. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep is silent before the shearers, he did not open his mouth. Unjustly condemned, he was led away. No one cared that he died without descendants, the worst thing in his day, but his life was cut short in midstream. He was struck down for the rebellion of my people. He had done no wrong, never deceived anyone, but he was buried like a criminal. But he was put in a rich man's grave. But it was the Lord's good plan to crush him. Now, if you get that in spite of the pain, look, humans and the devil crush Jesus, our sin. But it was the Lord's good plan that it happened. Now, if you get that venue, if you get that, the devil can never put a gun to your head again. He can never beat you. If you understand that the crushing that has happened in your life, it's part of a greater plan, the good plan of the Lord. That God is good in spite of all of the things. And God, watch what happens. Caused him grief, yet when his life is made an offering for sin, he will have many descendants. Hey, everything that you lost, there's more coming. He will enjoy a long life. Now it's talking about eternity and the glory and the power and the connection. And the Lord's good plan will prosper in his hands. Sometimes when we get hurt, we close our hands. But the Lord's good plans would prosper if you. He opened his hands on the cross. You got to open your hands. Because God's not done with you yet. When he sees all that is accomplished by his anguish, he'll be satisfied. So, when I finally see and get the revelation of all that could be accomplished by the anguish that I experience, I can be satisfied. And because of his experience, all that pain, my righteous servant will make it possible for many to be counted righteous, for he will bear all their sins. Your pain can have purpose, and pain with purpose brings joy. Don't waste a tragedy. Don't waste pain. Somebody you know is going to come to Jesus this Easter if you dig down a little bit deeper and embrace it and embrace the Son of Suffering and the Man of Sorrows. Somebody you know's life is going to be changed forever and all of eternity this year. If you, instead of trying to avoid and trying to like swim to the surface, if you just go down a little bit further, you meet the Man of Sorrows. The trick in the crucible is to watch the cross. When everyone around you is complaining that their hand is hurt, where's Jesus? You got to watch the pain. From the pain, you got to watch the promise. There's greater connection in pain than there is in anything else. Don't hide from the hardship. Go down so Easter Sunday, we can come up. If there's no death, there's no resurrection.